I am the person that likes to do things a little differently because the best Christmas story is found in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. In the first 18 verses of John is what they call in John's Gospel a fancy term in theology, the prologue. The word prologue means what he says before he tells the story of the Savior. And he gives us a lot of information for actually almost 99.9% of Christmas has nothing to do with the Savior. It deflects. I'm reading a book. Finished it. How many Jewish messiahs do you think there have been since Jesus? It's a book. It's done by a rabbi. Fascinating. Learned tremendous amounts. How many Jewish messiahs have been since the time of Jesus? Anybody want to take a guess? 50. There have been 50 Jewish messiahs who claimed to be the anointed one who would deliver the Jewish people. The book never mentioned the one true Messiah. Guess who it didn't mention? Jesus. But it gave the story of 50 Jewish messiahs. None of them came from the tribe of Judah. None of them were born in Bethlehem. None of them fulfilled prophecy like Yeshua did. And they all failed. They all died. There was one in the Middle Ages who actually decided that in order to bring in the Messianic kingdom, he as Messiah declared that no one should be keeping any type of law, and they went wild in immorality. Do you know how many Jewish people followed who was called Sabbatai Zvi was his name? In the Middle Ages, in the 18th century, Sabbat Zvi. Do you know how many Jewish people followed Sabbat Zvi? Close to 2 million, almost. More than half of the Jewish population turned to him, and he subverted everything. They worshiped Lucifer. They overthrew the law. They did everything that they could immorally, hoping to force God's hand. And Sabbat Zvi died a failed Messiah. 1.5 to 2 million people. Then another gentleman named Jakob Frank, how many have ever heard of him? Said he was the reincarnation of Sabbat Zvi and led many Jewish people 50 years later into the same type of failed immoral rebellion against God, hoping to force his hand. By the way, in New York City, today, there are more Jewish prayer books, Frankist prayer books sold than any other prayer books in Jewish liturgy. Jakob Frank. They still exist today. They don't call themselves that. All hoping that somehow these failed messiahs would bring them rescue. And all of them died. None of them were resurrected. And we worship the only true Messiah who fulfilled every one of the Old Testament messianic prophecies down to the letter. And what is odd is his own people didn't accept him. Let's look at what John has to say. In Christmas time, we worship a beginning. Jesus, the Messiah, had no real beginning because he is God who became man. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him. Who's the him? Well, in the original it means the Word created everything. Jesus is the Word who spoke everything into being, and yet at the same time, when he came, he took on human flesh. How many have ever had chili con carne? Con carne means Latin with meat. And when Jesus came in the incarnation, it meant that God's Son, in the mystery of the Trinity, himself took on human flesh. He had no beginning. But he came on a rescue mission to redeem man from his fallen state. And all things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. You want to know the power of the Son? Forget the Big Bang. The only Big Bang is the empty space in those scientists' heads that imagine that. Jesus spoke the world. Have you ever gone to Genesis chapter 1? He spoke the universe into being. He spoke it, and instantly it was there. In him was life. That's not only spiritual life. Listen to me. Life as a force was created through Jesus Christ. And life was the light of men, and the light is shining in darkness. And if your translation says the darkness did not understand it, it's wrong. It says the light is shining in darkness, and the darkness can't take it out. You ever see a candle get snuffed out? The word there in Greek means that no matter how hard this satanic world filled with Sabbats V's and Jacob Franks try to destroy the true Messiah, darkness cannot destroy or overtake the light of Jesus Christ. And they could not overtake it. There came a man from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe in him. Do you know why there's so much emphasis in the New Testament on John the Baptist? It's because the Bible declared him the greatest prophet of all time. Greater than Isaiah, greater than Jeremiah, greater than Ezekiel, greater than Daniel, and the greatest prophet in the history of Israel pointed to Jesus Christ, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. John was not the light, but that he testified concerning the light. There is a true light, which coming into the world gives light to every man. That light was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Have you ever thought about John, Jesus, the disciples sitting there as they traveled in Galilee and Judea? And they built at night a little area to cook food by. And in that flickering firelight, as the disciples stood around Jesus, little did they know that the light that was flickering off of Jesus and they beheld him, they were dealing with the God who had pronounced the world into existence. And yet, in his humanity, he had to rest. He had to eat. He thirsted. Because he was on a redemption ministry to redeem us, to buy us out of the difficulty we were in. He came to his own. Who's his own? The Jewish people. There's been 50 Jewish messiahs from Jesus. They're still searching, and each time they search for someone other than Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus, they will fail. He came to his own, and his own refused to accept him. But as many as received him, that's the good news of those who trust in Jesus. To them he gave the right to become children of God. That must mean this. Ooh, bad theology, Dave. We're not all children of God, are we? Children of God are those who trust Messiah Jesus as their Savior. Even to those who trust in his name, who were born again, the new birth, not of blood. The new birth doesn't depend upon you being Jewish. As a matter of fact, in the new covenant, there is no such thing as Jewish people anymore. You need to read the New Testament if you think there are. Paul said a Jew is not one on the outside. It isn't genetics anymore. Jew is one who is one on the inside, who trusts in Jesus. Romans 2, 28 and 29. We're going to read in Ephesians from last week that all of these old things have been broken down. The middle wall of partition, and the only one that is a true Jew is those who follow Jesus. And that means you can be born in Slablovia like I was, or at the North Pole, and you don't have to have a drop's worth of genetic anything in you connected to the old gang in the Old Testament. You're a true Jew who follows the Savior. Jesus said, "Who are my mothers, my brothers and my sisters?" They aren't the ones that are related to me, Jesus said. Behold, all of these who do the will of my Father who is in heaven, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The new birth is God doing that. And look what it says in 14, and the Word became flesh. The Word that was in the beginning with God, who made everything, who was already there, became flesh. And then look what the Word, and does your translation, I use the New American Standard, it says dwelled among us. Do you what do you have there? Huh? Well, too bad that we don't see what the Greek has, because the word actually means pitched a tent. You ever gone camping? That's exactly the term that would be used. You pitch a tent. Means that Jesus Christ took on human flesh, pitched his tent, and lived among us in order to redeem us. And we beheld his glory. Jesus took him to the Mount of Transfiguration. He was veiled and then showed him. He shone brighter than the sun. Glory of the only one from the Father. And I want to take a word out because it's not translated well. How many of you have the only begotten? Anybody have that? Scratch that. Terrible, wrong translation. The Greek means the only Son of God. It doesn't mean he was begotten. The translators confuse this with another Greek term. Oh, you mean to tell me, Pastor Dave, translations have problems in them? Yeah, they do. There's only one, only begotten, no, only Son of God. And that's Yeshua, Jesus. It means his uniqueness. Has nothing to do with birth whatsoever. In other words, the Bible is saying right there, and John is saying, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but through me. Ooh, that'll start jihad, won't it? That'll start jihad among a lot of people that aren't perhaps involved in jihad, because Christians claim the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And that he was full of grace and truth. So guess what his followers should be filled with? Huh? I really want to see our group like that. Filled with grace. To be gentle, loving, and kind. To be merciful because God has been merciful to us. I don't think the church does very well there, do they? Churches can be quite nasty. But true followers of Jesus, like him, who was filled with grace and truth, we need to be like that. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, whoever comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed," what? Now, you celebrate Christmas, you see that little baby in the manger, all that's celebrating is that Jesus took on human flesh to redeem us. He always was. I can't figure that out. Good luck. Time is an invention of the material world. Where God dwells, he's not subject to time. He created it. He always was. That can really start to blow your mind. But he did take on human flesh in the incarnation, the chili con carne. But he wasn't begotten. God came on a rescue mission. He always was. He existed before me, for of his fullness we have all received. Look at this. And look what it says. Grace upon grace. Do you know what that little phrase? That's a wonderful phrase. John is piling on. He's saying, not only did God lavish his grace upon us, but just when you thought God couldn't give you any more grace, guess what he did? He piled more on. And just when you think you couldn't get any more of God's wondrous favor, he piled more on. And it's the idea of he is limitless in his grace and his love for those who trust in him. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. You want to be an old covenant Christian? Get under the law. Jesus canceled the law. The Old Testament is gone. It's been canceled. You want to keep the law of Moses? Did you eat lobster last night and shrimp? Did you wear cotton and wool? You have to do it all, not some. Jesus said when he was preparing for the cross, this is the what covenant in my blood? And that abrogated the old covenant of Moses. That's why I love it when I see Christians that want to go back to the Old Testament and live like that. They have no true understanding of what Jesus did. We're under the grace of God. Grace upon grace. And then look what it said. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You want to realize grace and truth? You don't go to Moses. Don't retreat. That's the whole book of Hebrews. Remember when we preached the book of Hebrews? That was the great sin. You go back to Moses and guess what? You ain't getting into the promised land. No man has seen God at any time. They've seen his glory, his afterglow. They've seen his wondrous light, but they've never seen God. The only God, not the only begotten. You know what they did there now. They made a mistake. The only unique God who is in the bosom of the Father. Now notice what he says. He explained him. Remember when Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." Jesus turned to him and said, Philip, if you've seen me, you know exactly what the Father is like. I and the Father are one. You see that word, explained? That means if you want to understand God the Father and know what God is like, all you have to do is look at the Son. Because as the Son is, so is the Father. He explains him. No preacher explains Jesus or God the Father. You have to read the Word of God to understand fully that as you see Jesus unfold in the New Testament, you see the Father fully explained to those who follow him. So this morning, the true message is that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, who existed in eternity, who created everything, and who was on a redemption mission for mankind. You've received grace upon grace, and whoever trusts in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in this season that man has named Christmas, that the true message is God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that whoever trusts in him will never perish. We thank you for our future and our hope in the only true Messiah, Jesus. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.